Monster Man, Episode 239, Rat and Raven. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're taking a look at two more monsters from the R chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we get started, though, I don't usually do this kind of like plug or fundraising thing on Monster Man, but as you know, in the past, I've talked about Glorantha being one of my favorite settings, maybe my favorite setting other than the real world. In fact, I've done a special episode about the monsters of Glorantha. So Chaosium have put the Glorantha Bestiary on DriveThruRPG as a pay-what-you-want product. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but they are asking people, instead of paying for the bestiary, to instead donate to charities working to deal with the damage caused by wildfires in Australia. I donated to the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, if that's what it's called, but there are other charities, both fire services and wildlife refuges, that you can donate to, and there's a link to all of those in the drive-through page for the book. Now, that should be up for the day that this comes out and a couple of days afterward. But if you're listening to this later, you may not be able to get the book, but still a good cause worth supporting. So thanks in advance to anyone who does that, and thanks not in advance to anyone who already has. Okay, so our first monster for today is the rat. I am astonished. You would have thought that the rat would already have been in the monster manual, but no, that's just the giant rat. So here we get the regular rat. I can kind of see why the rat does not appear in the monster manual. It is not what you would call a formidable opponent. It does one damage. It takes about one damage, or maybe two, and it doesn't have a lot else to recommend it as a combatant. In fact, the only thing that really makes it dangerous is that, like its giant counterpart, it has a bite that could possibly infect you with a disease, which is bad, I'll admit. I feel like rats are more of a feature of the dungeon landscape than really a monster that you're going to go ahead and fight. Even though they could conceivably kill a low-level character, I feel like most of the time they're just kind of there to add atmosphere to a place, right? They're very gothic. Whenever I think of rats, I always think of things like the H.P. Lovecraft story, The Rats in the Walls, or sort of that one shot of a rat that's in every, like, gothic horror movie, right? That might not even be true, but I always think that there are. Like in a Hammer film or a Roger Corman Poe film or something like that. And you can use rats as a very interesting way to tell you something about the dungeon ecology, right? So if you go into a room and then you see the rats like scurrying away from where they were feeding in the center of the floor, okay, that's gross. But on the other hand, it probably does tell you that there aren't any predators around here that might be a threat to them, right? Rats are typically pretty skittish. They're not going to just hang out while more dangerous animals appear. And they may be able to sense those animals in the ways that you can't. So for example, if a gelatinous cube is coming down the corridor, it might be preceded by a wave of fleeing rats. Or you might see rats streaming to exits that are maybe too small for the player characters to get through, like fissures in the rock or something like that, but that maybe, you know, something could be wedged in there, or they could expand them or something like that. You know, maybe even when a secret door is closed, there's a little opening in it big enough for a rat to get through. We also get a special variant of the rat, the Vapor Rat. And this is basically a rat that's also kind of like an air elemental. It's not really an elemental, it's just a magic rat that inhabits cloud islands. So if you live in a cloud castle, for which exhaustive rules are given in the Dungeon Master's Guide, if you live in a cloud castle, well, you're going to get cloud rats. They're basically regular giant rats, they just have a few additional abilities, such as they can kind of turn into this gaseous form, and then they can sort of sail between cloud islands. And that's how they get from place to place. They're fine. They feel a little bit like overkill to me. Like, I don't think that anyone finding out that the Cloud Castle had rats would start to go, how did they get up here? You know, I think when you find out that your Cloud Castle or your spaceship or whatever has rats, that just feels like a truism. Like, where people go, so too go rats. So in general, I don't know that I would use them, but they're fine. And they're kind of neat. Like, if you want to go a really weirdo fantastical D&D, you know, make the cloud castle as cloudy as possible, then I guess these cloudy rats are the right choice for you. Next up, we have the Raven, parentheses, Crow, close parentheses. This is a bit weird to me. I mean, not that these birds are in here and that they have similar stats, in general, I tend to find that when you get down to the low levels of the stat block in this game, there isn't just really all that much difference between animals, right? I mean, ravens and crows are quite different, but I don't think that they're different enough to be mechanically very different from each other, considering that they're not all that powerful. So I actually don't think there's any problem with ravens and crows having the same, but I feel like the game has made finer distinctions than this before, so I'm not so, like, upset about it, but I'm curious as to when they draw the line. I guess the distinctions have typically been between larger animals, where, you know, like the mammoth and the mastodon, where maybe they felt that there was more room to play around with their power levels. This entry also says that a raven is also called a rook, which is not true. Rooks aren't ravens. They're more like crows. They're members of the same genus, but they're not ravens, per se. And in size, they're more comparable to a crow. And but for that matter, I don't know why they didn't just say, and magpies, right? But never mind. Anyway, one other thing that we get in here are huge and giant ravens. And again, you know, again, we see that trend of giant monsters, which are not like giant in an absolute sense, but merely giant relative to the normal size. So the giant raven has a 10-foot wingspan, right? It's not something that you're going to ride around on the back of. But I like them. You know, ravens are a bit like rats in that they're absolutely an atmospheric element of any gothic type setting, right? Again, just like there's a quick shot of a rat scurrying, there's a quick shot of a raven turning its head to one side. I think the profile of the raven has really been raised by Game of Thrones, but even before that, they were a part of that kind of moody gothic imagery, like whether that's the poem like The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe, or a historical thing like the way that there are ravens at the Tower of London. They seem to fit these kinds of settings. And of course, they're birds of ill omen associated with death, associated with battle, associated with the god Odin or with the Morrigan. So I feel like there's a lot of symbolic opportunity for ravens, and therefore I can absolutely see the giant raven being like the pet of some appropriately gothic bad guy, right? Whether that's an evil druid or a vampire or some kind of cult leader or whatever, right? You can definitely imagine that the giant ravens flock to particularly giant kills. They're also intelligent, not super intelligent, but intelligent enough that they could be agents of some kind. So you could be, you know, wandering along through this blighted landscape and then above you see the dark shadow of the giant raven, and you think, if that thing gets back to its master, they're gonna know we're here. You definitely imagine the giant raven functioning as a scout and a spy. Like, they can kind of talk. As it mentions, you know, ravens are quite intelligent birds, and, you know, can memorize a good number of words, so it's not too weird to have them as intelligent beings. So yes, I feel like these birds, especially the giant ones, actually have a lot of uses in a D&D campaign. The only thing is they might be a little bit on the nose. Having a giant raven as your sidekick is pretty goth. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But sometimes you don't want to make your villain too on brand. Anyway, I like them. Bit intelligent, quite big, not super tough. Good Dark Lord minions. And that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. Our next episode will be a special episode about doppelgangers, and after that, we'll be returning with two more monsters from the R chapter of Monster Manual 2, the Wretch Plant and the Rock Reptile, on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.